って。
What's up, guys? Welcome to the Freelance Podcast. I am your host, as always, RJ McCollum, and I've been meaning to record another episode for, you know, a while now, a few weeks, and it's just like, oh, busy. I've gotten some questions in. I'm recording this Friday afternoon. It's literally 2:10 p.m. my time, and I may even release it the same day, which you don't do with podcasts, but I thought, like, okay, honestly, let's end the week on a strong note. I had to put in a lot of work this week. My brain's a little bit fried, but again, wanted to end the week on that strong note, and I've had these questions that have been sitting in my inbox, so today's going to really start kind of the first, I'm not sure what to call it, freelance Q&A, freelance friends, or I don't know, that's stupid, but we've done some Q&A sort of shows before, but I have some questions that I think can fill up an entire show, and also some questions that I think some of you other guys and gals could potentially benefit from as well, so that's what we're going to do in this episode. I have a question from a couple, which is actually pretty neat, and then another individual as well. So I'm going to read through these questions. I'm going to give my take and answer them and give as much advice as I can. And if you guys have questions, you hear me say this all the time, but it begs repeating. If you guys have any questions, if there's anything I can do to help you as a freelancer, whether it's about the business side of freelancing, whether you wanted to get into specifics about maybe what I know, which is you know, WordPress, and I have a course on how to make a living as a WordPress developer, all those things, you know, feel free to shoot me a question, whether it's big, whether it's minute, or whatever, it doesn't matter. It's hard, especially as a freelancer. You know, I'm standing here in my office recording this, and I haven't seen another person really at all today. So it's nice to be able to know that there is somebody else out there that you can reach out to, ask a question that you may not be able to because you don't work in an office or whatever. So the best way to ask a question is really just to go to my website. It's rjmccollum.com. Click on the contact button in the navigation, fill out that form. That's how I get the majority of my questions, and it tends to work pretty well. And I'll be happy to answer it. And if we can get enough questions coming through, maybe this freelance Q&A could become a semi-regular thing. I know that I always enjoy, there's one particular podcast that I listen to in the development world called The Shop Talk Show, and they have these, what they call rapid fire episodes, and it's just literally them answering user questions, and it's good because it makes you, they kind of bounce around on topics, and it makes you think of things that you're not always thinking about, so... Without further ado, we're going to get into the first question, and this question comes from Josh. I'm going to read the question in its entirety, and then I will do my best to answer, give feedback, and all of those sorts of things. So it starts off, "Hi, RJ. My wife and I have been listening to your podcast on our commute home for the past couple of weeks. It's been very inspiring and helpful. I did want to touch base with you, though, and ask your advice. We're both looking to go freelance within a couple of years. I'm a freelance photo retoucher, and my niche is fashion, portrait, high-end retouching. I'm having issues finding photographers to work with. I've completed a lot of test images, but I never have actually secured a regular client. I'm having issues with potential clients writing me back. I've talked with photographers on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram, gotten to know them personally so I don't spam them, but it just doesn't seem to be enough. Do you have any advice?" He gives me his website to go to. "I've been doing this as a hobby for 5 years, but really want to pursue this full time. I really appreciate your time in reading this. Thanks again and have a great day." First of all, Josh, thank you for sending in the question. I think that this this concept of finding regular clients, or just finding clients in general, reaching out to them and not necessarily getting a response back, is something that any freelancer, regardless of you're a photo retoucher, developer, designer, writer, whatever, we've all kind of been in this scenario. And that's why I've held on to your question for so long. You probably think, oh my gosh, I wrote this guy a question and he never got back to me. But I was specifically saving it in order to answer it on the podcast because I think it would help everybody else. So first of all, I think it's awesome that you and your wife are listening to this. I don't know if my wife personally has ever listened to an episode of mine. So I guess that's cool that yours does. And just to kind of go back a little bit in terms of the commute home or commute to work, that is where I dove into podcasts. I was on my commute to work before I went full time. And that's kind of what, you know, that's what kept me moving forward and keeping my eye on the prize, so to speak. And so I think that's really cool. I think that's a great place to listen to podcasts and hopefully get you to a point where you can get closer to freelancing. So let's kind of dive into the question, and we're gonna take a look at first what his niche is. So the fact that you've kind of decided on a niche, that's great. I do think that you do need to specialize and that you do need to have a niche or a target sort of client that you're after. And it sounds like you have that with fashion, portrait, and high-end retouching. Now, I do just want to kind of talk about that niche real quick. The words fashion and high-end retouching, I think a lot of us kind of make some very quick judgments about what sort of images these might be, who the clientele could be in terms of people who may want to use your service. And in my first thought is fashion, portrait, high-end retouching is that you probably put a lot of effort and are probably pretty good at what you do if that is what you're going for. I imagine that somebody who, takes high-end photos and retouches them, or excuse me, takes photos puts an expert level retouching on it, that is certainly a labor of love. A lot of time, expertise, experience, detail goes into each individual photo that you do. Now, the reason that I wanted to highlight that was because it automatically sets up kind of the type of client. You hear all the time, and I don't think it's necessary to really go through this exercise, but you hear a lot of time when it comes to entrepreneur or freelance podcasts or articles, whatever. You know, you want to create that client story. Who's your ideal client? Give them a name. What are they like? What are they looking for? And you don't have to go super far into that. Like I said, I don't think it's a necessarily a worthwhile exercise for everybody. But when I think of fashion, high-end retouching, where your skill set is at, you are going to be dealing with somebody. Somebody is going to want your services if they themselves are looking to portray that same high-end end product. Now, I don't know enough about the distinction between the actual photographer and the person who retouches them. In my own, I guess, ignorance, from the photographers that I know, they are always the ones to, touch up their photos and everything and process their photos after a photo shoot. So I'm a little out of my depth here in terms of your particular niche. But again, in thinking about these people, you have to make sure that you get in their mindset. Now, because this is something you've been doing as a hobby and not necessarily full time, I think immediately what that does is it sets us as the freelancer, especially the young freelancer, it kind of sets us a little bit off because our confidence is not necessarily where it should be. And the reason I'm making this connection here between not saying that you're not confident in what you do, but maybe being a little unsure or less confident in interacting and kind of approaching these clients to get to a point where they say, yes, I want to work with you and pay you for your services. I think that there's a big could potentially be a disconnect in terms of the confidence and process in talking with these potential clients who, again, are probably offering a more expensive, high-end solution to the clients that they are working with. So I see a potential disconnect there, and I could be completely wrong, but if that hits home at all, one thing that I would just do is just make sure that the tone, the way that you interact with potential clients, And everything in terms of professionalism and how your emails are written, everything like this, which chances are you're probably doing, you just need to bear in mind that if you are looking and reaching out to these people who could benefit from your service, and again, because you're doing high-end retouching in these kind of, very high-end industries, it's possible that the way you communicate could create a disconnect between the service you're offering and also with the clientele you're trying to offer it to. Now, like I said, that could be way off base, but those are two things that kind of come to mind here. And one of the reasons it comes to mind is you say, I've talked with photographers on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram. So let me just start with LinkedIn. And these are my personal feelings. These are my personal feelings about these routes of reaching out and, my personal feelings obviously do not reflect the entirety or scope of these different social networks. But let me just talk about LinkedIn, because I get hit up all the time on LinkedIn and people are trying to shove their services down my throat. And not to be mean or go with the proven cliches here, but it's typically agencies from India that are offering me development work and all these things at just like the most ridiculous, lowest rates that you could possibly imagine. And I think that a lot of spam happens on LinkedIn. I almost never get a message on LinkedIn that I just, the way I feel about LinkedIn messages, even if someone is sincere, my first thought is, oh great, they just want something from me. They just want something from me. If you guys don't already, I would highly recommend following Justin Jackson. Justin Jackson is a maker, and he writes books, builds products, and offers courses for different makers and kind of freelancers, entrepreneurs, stuff like that. And he actually tweeted more recently, in the day that I'm recording this, he had tweeted something along the lines of, he gets so many emails where it'll say something along the lines of, oh man, I just read this article, that's so great. But then somebody, they immediately go into, here's what I want you to do for me. And regardless if it's LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, email, whatever, oftentimes, people just right away, here's what I want you to do for me. Even if you preface it with something along the lines of, oh, hey, I just listened to your latest podcast, or I just watched your video on YouTube, and that was so great, helped me so much. The transition is very blunt of, okay, great, I kind of built you up a little bit, now here's my ask. And I think just Not that people do that instinctively to be mean or selfish or whatever. It's just that a lot of times we are reaching out to people already with an ulterior motive, or not ulterior motive, with a motive of, we want something from them. And because that's already our motive when we start out, it's hard to, I guess, disguise or trick people into not seeing that. And again, Josh, I'm not saying that you are doing this stuff. I'm just kind of talking and what I see and what my experiences are in people reaching out to me for business. So going back to yours, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram, it's really good to hear you say that you get to know them personally, so you don't spam them. But like I would say, I would think about LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram. I would think about how you yourself approach those social networks from a business standpoint and what your feelings are in terms of communication through those social networks. Then I would go back to, again, thinking about that particular client who is going to need and want your services and who probably has the budget in order to hire you. Where are these people? Are they, like, do you have a plethora of people on LinkedIn that you are able to find that could use the service? Same thing with Facebook. Personally, Facebook, and again, this is my experience, I don't think from a brand standpoint that that people are too personal. Like, I don't think it's a very personal way to interact with somebody when you're doing it from a business standpoint. Now, I know that some individuals are very active on there, and some brands do a great job of client relations and stuff on there, but I never think to go and interact with a person or brand through there. Now, again, my view could be a little bit skewed because since I am kind of that developer designer community, each community, each niche or each thing that you're into interacts different ways. So that could be a flawed state of mind that I'm coming at it with. But Instagram, I do feel, can be very personal. I think that in terms of the conversations going on in comments, I think the way that you can DM people and with their stories and everything, I do feel that Instagram can actually be a fairly good way to get to know somebody and build that relationship. So those are just some quick takes on who it is that you should be looking for and spending time, investing time in to get to know. Because if we're being honest, not everybody is worth your time. If you're working with another or you find another freelance photographer that you kind of have an idea of what they charge per session, but it's pretty clear that they do their own retouching, they're probably not your ideal person. You want to make sure that you're being focused in terms of who you're investing in. Now, because you're still kind of, you're wanting to pursue this, you're not new at it, but because you're wanting to pursue it more full time, it's also, you could potentially have that mindset of, I just want to work with somebody. I can't tell you how long I spent in that mindset of anybody I can work with, regardless of if it is ideal or not, is a win. So what you don't want to do is you don't want to spread yourself too thin and all over the place. The more focused you can be, it may take a little bit to kind of build a foundation, but the more focused you can be in who you're speaking with and how you invest in them with your relationship and kind of see if there is a potential for both of you guys to benefit from working together, I feel like that's going to be a good use of your time in reaching out. And what I would do too is there has to be other more specialized ways for you to find out. Maybe that's forums, you know, maybe that's being more active on Twitter, maybe that's you creating content around the idea of how a photographer could benefit, you know, and their clients could benefit from hiring somebody like you that does what it is that you do. Maybe you can help guide them to that area. So that's some quick, just some quick advice on that. In terms of your website, I did go to the website. I took a look at it, and I'm just going to be blunt here because that's my advice to you with your website. Your website needs to not follow the, it needs to not follow the common pitfalls that everybody's site follows, right? A lot of people don't necessarily want a huge history on, you know, there's no need to take up a bunch of space about your history and what it is that, you know, I was born 1987 and went to Juniper Elementary in Escondido, California. Like, they don't want stuff like that. I always appreciate, and in looking at the people that I look up to, the brevity of their sites. You want to be quick, to the point, and more importantly, you want to get across the value that you provide to the client. As much as you can dwindle that down into a sentence or so, so it is clear what it is you do, who you work with, and the value that you provide, just you want to be brief about that, because the more you elaborate on that, it's easy to sound cheesy and salesy and fake and sound like everybody else. You want to be brief, to the point. You want to show your work. You don't necessarily have to show your rates or anything like that. I'm 50-50 on showing prices. On the podcast, I don't hide any numbers, but when it comes to business, you know, maybe you don't want to show numbers, that's fine. I would just recommend you want to be brief in terms of the content associated with what it is that you do, and you want to highlight your work. And in your case, you want to show before and afters, because those before and afters, that's what people are looking for, and it's going to be immediate. They're going to know, I like what this guy does, or I don't like what this guy does. So that would be my recommendation in regards to your website. Again, Josh, thank you for sending this in. It's great that you've been doing this as a hobby and you want to take it full time. I absolutely know that you have the capability to do that. You just got to stick with it. It's the long game, 100%. So just please stick with it. If this is something that you really enjoy doing, just keep pushing forward, keep asking questions, keep trying new things, learn, adjust, and repeat that cycle. And it will happen that you will start to get to a point where maybe you can take this full time. All right. Next and last question comes from Sergio. And so here's the question. It says, hey, RJ, my name is Sergio. I'm a digital nomad and freelance developer working remotely currently in Dublin, Ireland. That is pretty awesome. I wish I could be in Ireland. I've been listening to your podcast since episode one. Actually, I'm lying. I started listening to the first 6 episodes or so and took a break after that. Sergio, thank you for your honesty. I love the fact that you're transparent in your show and try to deliver as much value and knowledge as possible. I really dig your work and would like to ask you 2 questions if you don't mind answering. 1, have you seen an increase in your business in the last 3 years? And 2, what tools do you use to manage your projects, your schedule, your day, invoicing your clients? It'd be helpful to know since I can't really figure out a good setup. Sergio, thank you very much for the kind words in the email and taking the time to write it my way, and I'm happy to answer these questions for you. So let's start with the first one. Have you seen an increase in your business in the last 3 years? It's funny, the last 3 years, because 3 years ago, at this point about 3.5 years ago, is when I made the jump from moonlighting as a freelancer. I had a full-time job, I quit my full-time job, and went into full-time freelancing. And each year, I have done a recap of my first year as a full-time freelancer, second year, and more recently, my third year as a full-time freelancer. I would highly recommend going through and listening to those episodes and listen to them in succession, because you're going to see, and especially just looking at it from a dollar standpoint, I went from, okay, I did pretty good in my first year. I did even better my second year, and holy crap, I did even better my third year. So I would highly recommend listening to those, because the short answer to have I seen an increase to my business in the last 3 years is 100% yes. Just to dive into it very quickly, it's also because I have put a large emphasis on creating relationships with people that I work with, and it is because of those relationships, and this is kind of a good point too, to go back to Josh's question, when you do get that first person, I know what a struggle it is to get that first client under your belt. Every person that you get a chance to work with is an opportunity for you to craft a strong relationship with. It's because of the relationships that I have been offered new opportunities or offered more work, because those people have had a good experience with me and I have delivered in terms of time frame, quality, and so forth and so on a good budget, that they are out there vouching for me to the point where relationships have led to all of the retainers that I have currently, which are what are kind of helping me with my yearly numbers and goals and everything. So absolutely, I've seen an increase in terms of work, type of work, money I'm making. So the last 3 years have been very good, very exciting. And then, of course, there's the ongoing question, which is tools, right? So everybody loves to know about tools, and I am super guilty of this. We all feel, I won't say we all, I feel that finding that perfect tool will somehow just make me so much better at my job, just more productive and all these different things, right? And I do 100% believe that having the right tool, the right tool can give you the warm and fuzzy and certainly help you be productive. So I'll go ahead and just quickly list out and answer these specific items that you listed out here. But you just got to find something that gets out of your way, allows you to do what it is you want to do, but doesn't require 40 million steps. And so let's answer the first one here, which is managing projects, right? So project management is something that everybody should be using. And project management can range anywhere from just using a simple built-in calendar like Google Calendar or iCal on Apple devices. Could even be just a yearly planner that you have going super old school. Or it could be a project management piece of software. Now, shameless plug, I actually built my own project management software called Hector. You can go to hectorapp.com, sign up. It's free. I'm actually in the process of completely redoing it. New features, new design, yada, yada, yada. But I built it because as a freelancer, I work for myself. I don't work on a team, but I do work with a number of other people. And all the project management software that I have used over the years all centered around the concept of working on a team. And it made it hard to collaborate with people using the same project management software that weren't necessarily on the same team. And so that's why I ended up building my own, because it was project management for the individual freelancer, but does allow collaboration, not siloed to teams. When it comes to project management, you have about 1,001 different options out there. A lot of good free options and certainly a lot of good paid options as well. My recommendation outside of Hector, of course, because it's the best thing since sliced bread, is to, again, find something that allows you to keep a project up to date with the important information like due dates, notes, and stuff like that, but one that does so and gets out of your way. And it could be as simple as one that requires two less clicks. You know, if I'm using Project Software A and Project Software B, but in Project Software B, I have to take two extra clicks in order to accomplish what I can accomplish in Project Management Software A, those two clicks over time compound into just more time or less time for you to actually be working. Because I do work with other agencies and retainers, I do have to use their project management systems. And so I have four that are always open and pinned in Chrome for me. And it's very clear which ones I prefer using and which ones I have to click. And it's hard to find. They're just, yeah, find one that gets out of your way and lets you do what you want to do the quickest way possible. That would be my advice there. And that kind of goes with scheduling your day. So, right, project management software, that's one of the things about Hector too, is it not only handles projects, so these ongoing projects, but it handles small individual tasks that you may have, and that keeps it all in one place. As far as invoicing your clients are concerned, you absolutely need to be using an invoice management piece of software. That it's just so much easier that way. Clients can pay online. You don't have to worry. You know, they'll send automated overdue notices and everything. Give you reports on stuff. At the moment, I use a service called FreshBooks. I used FreshBooks, and I've also used Harvest before, which I think is getharvest.com. Both of them I like. There's pros and cons. Again, same thing. You need to look at something that stays out of your way and allows you to do what you need to do. But that's one thing that I'm not super thrilled with FreshBooks about, is to, you know, get reports or create projects or whatever. There are a number of clicks, and it's just not clear of what it is that I'm doing. So you just got to find one that works for you. These are something that are worth paying for. There are free options out there, and you can find decent free options, but find one that you like and pay for it. It's going to pay you back for sure. So I would use that. Sergio, thank you again for the questions. Hopefully anybody that listened to this found a little chunk in there somewhere that you can take and kind of benefit. If you guys have any, if you listeners have any advice for Josh or Sergio, you know, let me know. I'm happy to kind of spend a little bit of the next episode recapping if some good advice comes through. And again, just a call to action for you guys. If you have any questions or there's anything I can help you out with, rjmccollum.com, go to that contact page, fill out the form, and I would be happy to answer your guys' questions. So I appreciate you all for listening. This is the end of a busy, busy week for me, and I wanted to end it on a bang, so I'm recording this right now, and it's probably going to go out the same day. So hope you guys have a great weekend, and as always, keep freelancing. Like that.